Hello, everyone, and welcome to SPED Homeschool Conversations. We are so happy for you to be here with us tonight. If you're joining us live or just on our recorded sessions, either on YouTube or Facebook, this is our weekly broadcast put on by SPED Homeschool. And we have a guest every Tuesday night live on our Facebook page. But this month of August, we're focusing specifically on how to help your student achieve the goals you have from this year. And sometimes those goals, especially for our teenagers, are to make them more independent. But that's a lofty goal, and how do we go about that? So we have a very special guest tonight. Her name is Renee Sullins. Welcome, Renee, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So our topic tonight is effective methods for coaching your teen towards independence. And you are a life coach, so you have a lot of experience in this area. And I'm excited for you to be able to share that.
Yes. And I'm excited to answer any questions, because I absolutely love to serve and help. And I know that I was that parent that had a lot of questions way back. Not before the internet, but before we had all the resources and things that we have now. So I'm just thrilled to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you, because this is a topic I think that comes up almost on a monthly basis with our parents. And I know even when I had my first teens, it was kind of that gray area where you go, what am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? Am I actually helping this process or hindering the process? And so so I'm looking forward to you sharing some insight into those things, being an experienced coach as well as a parent yourself. And so let's get to know you a little bit so our audience knows you and can understand a little bit about what you do as well as some of your background, and then we can start diving into some questions. So if you have questions, like Renee said, have them ready, put them in the feed. We love to see them and we'd love to get them answered tonight. So, yeah.
Okay. So my background actually is, we'll give them some good insight into where I'm coming from and really where my heart is and my passion is. I started co-founded a nonprofit organization in Houston 13 years ago called Tapestry of Hope. And we help underprivileged teens get into and through college. So, and I did this all as a volunteer. And I always joke, if anybody knows the movie The Blind Side, I'm like the Sandra Bullock in that, you know, getting furniture off the side of the curb and, you know, walking out into the football field to talk to my student about something. And I've actually literally done that at a practice.
Wow.
And so it's just whatever it takes. So I have had experience with teens and college students that age, probably close to about 400. And I still do mentor now, and seeing them go through changes and processes. So I've really learned on the job training, so to speak, in terms of how to approach and mentor, what works, how to work with parents and things like that. And when I discovered coaching, I knew that this was sort of like mentoring on steroids, I tell people. It gave me the skills. And God has really gifted me to be an intuitive listener. And I'm that person that was that little girl in the kindergarten, first grade that was always raising my hand, like always asking questions. Well, that's what coaches do. We ask questions. So, you know, what do you want? How does this work? What does that look like for you? And that's just something I've just naturally have this innate curiosity. So it became really evident that coaching was what I was called to do, to take it to the next level. And now I'm seeing really powerful transformational changes, and not only my clients, but also all these kids of mine that I've mentored all these years that are now adults. And now I can not only mentor them, but I can coach them into things that they're dealing with as adults.
Yeah, definitely. They need to continue. That's why you never grow out of parenting. It's, you know, your kids always come back, and you need to have that relationship. And,
that's
amazing for those individuals that don't have those people in their lives that you stepped in to be able to do that. And really to put them on the spot with the questions, that is, it's so important, because oftentimes they don't know what they're thinking. until you ask.
No.
And then they go, oh, I haven't thought of that.
Yes, yes. And that's the part of coaching, is that we ask the questions that no one else will ask, or the parents want to ask, but they can't, or they don't know how. Right. And because we are not the teacher, the mother, you know, I'm not your authority. I'm your coach. We're a team. This is a journey together. Mm-hmm. Then I can call them on things in a loving, supportive way. But instead of pushing, we actually stretch. And there's a difference in that.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
So there's things that, you know, you would love to ask your son or daughter as a teenager. And you're like, oh my goodness, if I ask them this, they might blow up. They might close up. It might be the wrong approach. It might be the wrong time. Well, I just do that. It just flows, and it's received. And I know how to ask the questions and how to dig deep to get the answer that really is there. Because a lot of times in anything, they'll say, oh, what do you want? This. Well, I'll ask so many questions that it really wasn't this. It was something way down deep. Mm-hmm. Aha moments. And that's where the magic really happens.
Definitely. Yeah. So I just want to let our viewers know ahead of time, and then we'll put your information up. But this is your coaching site. If you can go, it's ReneeSullinsCoaching.com is your website.
Yes. So, yes.
Yeah. So if you're watching and you want to ask a question, put it in the feed down below where the video is showing, or on the side, depending on how you pulled it up on Facebook. But we'll be able to see it. And then we can bring those questions into our conversation and hopefully give you some answers or some direction on how to proceed on just different things that you're dealing with your teen and helping them to be more independent. It's a process, and it's not very easy. And I think we're going to talk a lot about tonight about those stuck places our mm-hmm. kids get. Mm-hmm. And I know, Renee, you wanted to share some examples from just all of your experience that you're bringing into this conversation. And I'm so excited that we see our kids stuck, and then I think we get overwhelmed, because sometimes, like I know for my kids, when my kids were dealing with depression, I saw them in that, and then I went, oh, well, that's what I dealt with too. And so we kind of see those things reflected back on us as well. And we didn't deal with it well. So how are we to coach them through it? And that's, it puts us in a difficult place as a parent for a lot of different things. But So what are some of those stuck places? And we can go through some, take your questions in the middle too. So,
okay. One of there is a common thread with, bar none, with all the students, whatever level they're at academically, whatever family situations that they have, they all deal with procrastination. That's
and that's normal.
Oh yeah, it is. And they don't want to procrastinate. They know they do. They mm-hmm. call it what it is. I don't even have to draw that out of them. Right. Because when I'm coaching them, you know, I consult with the parent first. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's an hour or more to get that kind of background information. But as soon as I do a consultation, which is a full coaching with a prospective client, I say, look, here's what your parents told me. I'm just going to kind of throw this out the window. And I don't mean that literally, but it's all about you and what you're telling me, because that's their reality. And bar none, they always talk about, I procrastinate. I put things off at the last minute. Well, we kind of laugh about it because, oh yeah, we have things that we put off that, you know, it's always stuff that we really don't want to do or might intimidate us or, you know.
Right.
But really what it is, it's so much more than that. And I didn't realize the extent of procrastination on a deeper level until I started coaching. Because what does that cause? That causes stress.
Yes.
That causes anxiety. Mm-hmm. That causes stomach aches. Yes. That causes sleeplessness. Mm-hmm. That causes sometimes eating disorders. It causes strife within the family. So we look at all of that. It's very holistic approach instead of like, oh, you're just procrastinating. Let's work on your schedule and no problem.
Right. It's executive functioning, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We look at the whole, we look at the whole picture and why are they procrastinating? Where is that coming from? And when you can find out the why, that's the power of coaching, is when you can find out the why. Because we can tell our teenagers all day long, you know, you really need to get your homework. You know, you need to do your homework, because we're great at micromanaging, aren't we?
Oh, yes, we are.
Oh, yeah. You need to do your homework. It's due tomorrow. Did you do it? Have you done it? Where is it? Don't forget all of this. And they, obviously they can't stand it. Nobody likes to be treated that way at any age, right? So if they understand the why, and that's what we get to in everything. Why they need sleep, why they need to eat a certain way. Cause we talk, I'm a health coach as well. So I incorporate that into all my life coaching. And so if you say, why do you need to work on a schedule? And we break it down, they go, well, because I said, how about we work on a schedule so you can have your weekends free? Wow, that's a really good reason. Not because mom told me to do my homework, but so I can hang out with my friends on the weekend and not be stressed on Sunday night doing my homework at the last minute and mom's on my case.
Right, you're building
that's a good
incentives. It's not something external, it's internal. They want those things.
It's internal, and it's really about rewiring their brain to make good habits for them that they own. That's not what
you're pulling towards the good instead of having the bad hold you back. You know how basically that's what you're saying is, you know, you got to let go of the I'm not doing it and focus on the why I should be doing it.
And even taking that a step further is one of the things that really resonates with teens is when I say, this relationship is never about judgment. And it's almost, I can almost see, because everything's done Skype, because I love to see their affect, and it's almost like they'll sit back and go, thank goodness you're not going to tell me, why didn't you do something? I can't believe, or, oh, you know, no judgment. So this is, I said, I'm going to tell you stuff. I said, I don't want you judging me. So why would I judge you? You know, that's not my, and I don't want them judging themselves. They can assess, but not judging. Cause that again, they beat themselves up over, gosh, I should have done this sooner. Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I have that? That's the stress, the stomach aches, the sleep. I mean, it all mind-body connection flows together.
I love that word assessment, you know, that personal assessment versus the judging, because it's a gauge of where I am and how I still can improve, but yet I've come so far. And I know I have a planner for myself, and I do that. I do a personal assessment every evening. And it does. It helps me to think through that in a positive way. And how important is that for teens to start that? Because
Absolutely.
Our world does not assess them. It judges them on a constant basis.
Yes, yes. And parents, you know, I have parents that are really hard on their kids. And they, the teens tell me that. They tell me that. And of course, I'm not going to judge their parents. I'm going to help coach them around feeling empowered themselves and be positive about themselves and know that that's where the independence comes in. They can be independent about how they view themselves apart from what everyone else thinks about them. And from a spiritual perspective, you know, it's really about what God, you know, what God, how he views us and how we view ourselves in light of that.
Definitely.
But if, you know, even if your parents are hard on you, or, you know, I have students with dysfunctional families and things like that, which is difficult. It's difficult as a coach to deal with someone who has, you know, pretty serious issues with a parent or both. Mm-hmm. But just letting them know where their place is in that, and that they can still be happy and healthy and vital and fulfilled in right. spite of all that.
Well, I think you get to the core when you just talked about the independence being stuck, you know, or mm-hmm. attached to that personal independence, because our kids mm-hmm. are going to leave our homes. And when they're doing, I've seen so many teens leave their parents' home and they go wild because all of their, you know, things that they did independently were based on what their parent thought. And here now my parents out of the picture. So all of a sudden it opens all these doors to whatever my independence looks like without that. But if you build that core of this is who I am and this is why I do it internally, then they don't do that because you've built that already in them to take right. with them. They right. don't. Yeah, definitely. It's important to have that base.
Yes. And it's a constant state of reassessment in a positive way. And that's in coaching, they're accountable to me, not only to themselves, but they're accountable to me. And we have action steps, which is not busy homework. I tell them, this is not me just giving you, it's something we've talked about during that session based on what is really going to move them forward into the next week, et cetera. And so they have action steps. And I make sure that, you know, is anything going to get in the way this week of you doing that? We coach around that before I release them out to the week. Uh-huh. And they can contact me during the week mm-hmm. and between sessions, text or email. So I'm really there, and they will, you know, I'm stuck or I'm feeling anxious or this. So we connect during the week as well. But when it comes back around for the action steps, that's another form of reassessment, but not with judgment. And one of the ways that we really drive that home mm-hmm. is I use the word curious. We are curious. Approach mm-hmm. things with a sense of curiosity. So I'll give you an example. This is a good example from just a health coaching perspective mm-hmm. is you've eaten lunch and it's a little bit, few hours after lunch or whatever. And all of a sudden your stomach hurts and you're like, wow, I have a stomach ache. Instead of just running and taking something, or you don't even say that much. You're just like, oh, I've got a stomach ache. I'm going to take something. And you don't even, what we call step back. Step back is very powerful, that phrase to teens as well. You don't step back and go, You know that little, I love the emoji where he's going, like this.
Right.
And I'm like, that's what I train them to do is step back and go, why do I have a stomach ache? What did I eat? And I teach them how to eat too, literally. Did I eat too fast? Did I eat under stress? Did I eat something I shouldn't have eaten? Am I like really overly tired today? Am I anxious about something I have to do tonight? As opposed to like, oh, I just, so I, right. It's about reassessing and assessing every aspect of your life in order to really tackle mm-hmm. what's really, really there, the core to make the change and tweak. It's just fine tuning. It's just tweaking, really.
Definitely. And, you know, I've heard from so many millennials and on, and I hate to call this a judgment, but mm-hmm. they turn to social media to solve those types of problems before they even internally take that step back. So that is, it's a crucial thing to teach young adults and even our teens when they're still in our home, how to do that. Because if they don't, they could go with the whims of whoever happens to be their friend social media.
Right. And that goes with how the parents interact with their teens. Mm-hmm. So your son or daughter has not done something that oftentimes it's just something you wanted them to do. They may or may not have like had to do it right then or needed to do it right then, but you wanted to dump them right then. And approaching it from a from the parent's perspective of curiosity, like, son, I realized that you didn't work on your paper that's due this week today. You know, something getting in your way of that. Just very out of a curiosity, not judgment. Like, you know, what are you thinking about that paper? Is there something, you know, is there anything you're struggling with? Or, you know, if I can be a support or we can find you support. And just really being curious instead of like, why haven't you done the paper? It's due in 3 days. Right. How many of us have done that? We're all guilty of that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So a different approach like that, approach of curiosity, you're still coming at it. You're still, mm-hmm. you know, you're still the authority in the house, but you're coming at it from a point of wanting to really know why, mm-hmm. but in a very gentle way. So you understand their perspective and their side of the story.
Exactly.
It's very effective.
We have to train ourselves to be more observant, because I think we are observant from our own perspective, and that causes judgment instead of being observant from a larger scope of what's going on with my child as well. That's how we ended up getting my son's diagnosis. I was so frustrated with him, and I had been praying, and I took a step back and I looked at him, and he was hunching over, and I said, "Does your back hurt?" And we found out he has Schuppen's disease, which is causes hunchback. Mm-hmm. And yet hiding the pain. He was doing all these things and acting out because he himself didn't realize he was in so much pain. So true. It took me a long time to say, I have to take that step back instead of just snapping to think, why my child is doing the things they're doing. It may not even be related to what's going on and what's coming out.
Absolutely. And I notice that parents, and this is just, you know, you teach or train what you know. Right? It's what you know. So I'll give you an example, and I like to give this one. I was working with a client, still working with her, and the first session, I always like to know, where are you putting all this information that you need to keep track of? When you have exams, when you're doing, you know, anything that you need to write down, what are you putting that on, or where is it? And she said, "Well, I have a wall calendar over here on the wall." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Oh, okay. Well, just tell me about that." And she said, "Well, I don't really use it." I said, "So it's not working."
Right.
She said, "No." I said, "Let's take it down and find something that will work." Mm-hmm. And, you know, and probably mom with very good intentions bought the wall calendar. Maybe that's what mom uses, or buys a certain kind of planner, or we're going to do it on this thing. Mm-hmm. That's what works for mom, or that's what works for dad. Yeah. Never bothering to ask, "Hey, what works for you?" "Oh, I want a little planner that's pink with, you know, every page is a day." Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Yeah. I can't tell you, it sounds so simple, but there's so many of those little simple things that I work on that make a huge difference. And I do keep track of it because it's their idea, their plan, or what's working. I had another client whose mom worked with her on her, we call it, you know, schedule blocking, where every hour of every day is filled up with something, but it's filled with meals and fun and all of that kind of thing too. So she was working with just the basics of that. And within about 3 days, you know, the mom sent me the schedule, like, "Hey, what do you think about this?" And within 3 days, my client, who is actually an eighth grader, sent me her version and said, "You know, that original version," and she did work it with her mom, the original. Mm-hmm. And she said, "You know what? I just realized that that was not going to work for me. I didn't understand it. And so I modified it to this." And I'm like, that's what it's all about. Yes. And she's in eighth grade.
So, that's amazing. To know that much about yourself at that young of an age.
Them. Yeah. Because I want them to be independent. And that's what I've been working just this week. That young lady in a ninth grader just started high school. I said, "I'm going to work with you on being more independent. And this is going to be like training wheels, because I know you're used to going to mom and dad for everything. And I understand that. And, but we're going to just work on taking off those training wheels where, you know, you have a question, you don't understand your class. I want you to go ask the teacher instead of mom first.
Uh-huh.
You know, and these are kids who are, well, no, these are kids, even homeschool kids that go take classes elsewhere. Just ask the source. Mm-hmm. And empower them, because you know what? They're going to have to do that in college.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And when you go that, do that in college, exactly, and you've made that connection with your professors, that's what I'm working on. Some of my college, new college students now, that could be the difference between an A and a B, because you've showed up in that person's office and they're like, oh, he's so interested in my class. And I'll just throw these little 2 points in there and they have an A. So all that stuff you're just working with them on, and that's the why. Mm-hmm. You know, why should you do this? Well, it's about this relationship. It's about future grades, instead of like, oh, you need to go, you know, don't talk to your mom anymore. And I don't say that, but you know what I mean? It's all about that why.
Yeah, it truly is. And it's getting them one step closer each time. You know, with the planners, I can't imagine that you probably have duplicated the same planner for any child, because they're all so different. And I know I've tried many with my daughter, and there are some that are better. Every electronic one, she's like loaded on her phone and then it's gone. And so we've learned electronic ones don't work. But you just keep pressing on and you keep trying, and, you know, and working them towards that independence. That's amazing that an eighth grader has already figured out what works.
And, you know, we are not used to acknowledging ourselves, and especially just coming from a Christian perspective, you don't want to come across as arrogant or prideful. Mm-hmm. But there's something very powerful about just acknowledging something that you've done well or right. And especially I have them acknowledge their giftedness, because they don't really, it's because there's a lot of things that I see as gifted that may go like, oh, well, I just, you know, I made an A in English. And then I realize they're an exceptional writer. So I make them acknowledge that and see where that's coming from and how that's going to help them, so they own it. So they can feel that maybe when they're not feeling so gifted in something else, mm-hmm. or they transfer those skills into something else. They're like, you know, I'm really good at this, especially in looking at when we start talking about college majors and things like that, because with my mm-hmm. mentoring experience, I help with applications, picking out a major, picking colleges. I mean, I just incorporate all that in there too. So mm-hmm. they need to know what they're good at, and they need to believe that, and not just because mom and dad told them they're good at that.
Right. Yeah. It does help to have outside people talking into their lives. And
yes. And a mom.
It isn't just mom and dad who love you, who say that you love everything. And
I had a mom tell me this. I heard her say this the other day. She said, you know, you can tell it, with coaching. Yeah. Parents, you have to check your ego at the door. Because there are things that you have told your son or daughter, and they're like, oh. And then Renee is going to tell them almost exactly, or sometimes exactly the same thing. And they're like, oh, wow, awesome. And they start doing it. And I thought that was really kind of funny. I said, that's true. I know with my own daughter who's grown now, it's like somebody else could tell her. It's like, did I not just tell her that?
And right. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And that's what it takes.
I think a really good point of, you know, just putting influence of other people into your teen's life that can speak truth into their life is so important. Because my babysitter for when my daughter was born, my boys were older, I was homeschooling, I was speaking. And so I had a babysitter come in, and her mom goes, you tell her the exact same things I tell her, and she listens to you.
Right.
But it's just from a different person who has no, you know, there's nothing hinged on.
There's no agenda.
Yes, exactly. And so I'm just saying it because it's true. And then they're realizing it. Oh, it is true. And then it helps embed that into their lives better. And
absolutely, you
know, back towards independence. Oh, this is who I am. They have to find that out.
And having someone draw that out, a mentor or somebody, coach, whatever, that's very, very helpful. Because when they're out there again, I'm always trying to prepare them for the next step in their journey, which is either college or trade school or wherever they're going. Right. I always have that in mind with no matter what grade they're in. Mm-hmm. I always have that in mind and reflect or, you know, look forward to that and go, you know, when you're in college, this, and thus the planner. And I had a student that I'm very tactile, and they know that I'm a very visual learner. I'm very tactile. And so I fought putting my calendar, my personal professional calendar on my computer. Mm. I just kind of had some resistance about that. And so then I was talking to him over a spring semester one time, and I'd heard that that Google Calendar was very user-friendly. I like it much better than Apple Calendar. Mm-hmm. And I think it's all the colors or something. So I talked to him about it, and we kind of skirted around that for months, and finally he did it, and it was exponential, the change in him. And it was right before finals, how he was able to really nail down his schedule. And to this day, that he's, you know, it's been a year or more since that moment, he is still using that. And because of the accountability, mm-hmm. that made me step back and go, wow, if he can do it, I can do it. I can learn how to do this. I can try it. And so, long story, I've embraced it, and that's what I use. So I learn from them too.
Yeah. I just got a message from one of my team members, because we have the G Suite for our nonprofit. We get it for free. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to get them all on there, and she just couldn't figure it out. She messaged me today. She goes, I finally figured it out. It's like, yay. Because we do all of our scheduling and video conferencing on Google Calendar. Love it.
Yes. Yes. And in that instance, I would have asked her, you know, what's getting in your way of that? Where is that coming from? And she may say, I tried something technical 5 years ago and I failed, or I did this. And then we dig and work that out, and bam, you know.
Her phone. It was her whole issue. We had gone through everything to try to make it work. And I think she finally just figured out the app. But yeah.
Awesome. That's good. It can happen. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I love the comment that you made earlier about how to keep pressing on for the future use of what you're doing now. Because so often our kids ask us, well, what am I going to use this for? Or if they don't ask you, they're thinking it. And to bring that up in a regular conversation as to, this is how you can use this from here, I can see the impact that would make on giving them more ownership now.
Right.
Instead of going, huh, yeah, this is just another thing that's being added to my schedule.
Right. And also being very honest with them, like if they're taking a class, if they're taking a chemistry class, a core class to get their high school diploma based on the Texas credentials So they have to take that, and you know that they want to be an English teacher.
Right.
You can say, and of course, this is how I talk to them. I say, you are probably not even going to have to take, you may have to take one class of science in college to get the degree you want to go. But you know what? In order to do that, you're going to have to take this class. We're going to work around a way to what we call reframing, which is actually like the picture in your background. If we took that frame off and put another frame on, and it's nothing, it's not delusional. It's like, oh, let's just kind of look at this. It's like real. And they get it, like, okay, it's a completely different way of looking at the same thing. Right. And it's very powerful. We do a lot of reframing and say, okay, this is not your favorite class. No, you're probably not ever going to use this ever again. But you have to take it to make the GPA that you've told me you want to make, to graduate where you want to be in your class, to go to this college, to get a scholarship. So we're just connecting the dots and they go, ah, oh, okay, I can wrap my head around that. Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Because it's all about them and what they want in their future.
Right. And right. They connect incentive right into that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they want. It's not about what you want for them or what
right.
they're being told they need to do.
Yes. And that is way easier said than done as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been there. And with a daughter, you probably have people in this group whose son or daughters have ADD, ADHD.
Right.
And my daughter in high school, she's very bright. And this was back before we had all the resources that we have now. And I thought, why isn't she doing this? She's lazy. This is driving me crazy. We would try all kinds of things except standing on her head to get her to do things. And can you please just scrape by to get an NHS because it looks good on the resume? Can, you know, staying up late at night, working on the projects,
right.
Not letting her fail. That's a big issue with parents, not letting their children fail. And I'd love to circle back around to that.
Yes.
And so, but then we realized, fast forward, when she went to college, you know, she came back for spring break and we did not realize it. I'm very authentic. I just thought it was a made up thing back then because we didn't have all the information like, oh, that's made up and
right.
people are getting drugs. Okay, it's very real. I'm married to someone with that ADHD. My son-in-law has it. I mean, I'm around it. I know it. I know it's real. And so once she came home for spring break, her affect was completely off. We were very worried about her. Then she was diagnosed with ADHD, which caused clinical depression and clinical anxiety. It had gotten so bad. And we didn't know. We just thought, oh, she's... Why isn't she going to class? We know she can. So had I known then what I know now, you know, one of those things.
Right.
But with that, there are some key things that I know. And these are things, obviously you can Google this, but I just want to share this with parents to encourage them because there was a lot of heartache and grief and struggle not knowing what to do and how to do it with someone they suffer with this. They do suffer with this. And the parents suffer too.
Right.
But key things. One, they've got to be on a schedule. They've got to be on a schedule knowing when to do what and how. And you work with them on that schedule.
Mm-hmm.
If they're a morning person, teach them in the morning. If they're a night person, this is the beauty of homeschooling. Teach them at night.
Yes.
If they get sleepy after lunch,
at school at 3 p.m.
Do whatever it takes. Adapt to their learning modality and also to their time, their rhythm. So they have to be on a schedule because they often struggle with anxiety, not only because they're not getting things done and they can't focus, but just fear of the unknown. What's next? What if I can't do that? Well, if it's written out and they've worked on it with you and they've learned to empower themselves to do it themselves, wow, that's good. The next thing is they've got to exercise. And in coaching, we call it movement because movement is anything. It's not just going to the gym and all that. It's thinking outside the box. And with homeschooling, gosh, you can do all that fun stuff too. You know, you can do canoeing and rock climbing and you can call anything your PE credit, right?
Right, exactly.
So get them and it needs to be on a like daily basis, even if it's 50. And there's so many things that I'd love to share if any of your viewers, listeners want to know some really good YouTube exercise that's you know, people that I've seen or watched this like 15 or 20 minutes. It's really good cardio or yoga or something that I think that would be age appropriate.
Right.
For, you know, where it's not anything weird or foul language, you know what I'm saying? I'd be happy to share that as well, just to get your kids moving. And I know that once I always get my teens to do something. And the boys, you know, they all want to look nice. They want to look nice. They want to feel good. And so we find out what does that take. And it's really fun when they enlist mom to do this. The mom and the daughter, or the mom and the son, or dad, or whatever, and they start doing some sort of movement with the parent, especially if the parent hasn't been doing movement. And then that's just that trickle-down effect, right?
Yeah. You both feel better, and then you've connected on that activity. So I know my daughter and I both started aerial silks last year. So, so we, that's where she was tonight, but she goes for 2 hours. She's on a performance team, and I go at a different time.
Oh my goodness.
But we talk about it. We're like, have you learned this trick yet? And almost compete with each other, but it's fun. And
next
working out.
Right. And it gets, I am a firm believer in the mind body connection. You cannot separate. And fortunately, I'll call them traditional doctors are starting to really realize they call your gut, your second brain now. They're starting to refer that. And so students that struggle with the ADD, ADHD, really, I would think a lot of different, and I'm not a physician or anything, but any kind of learning difference, just having a healthy gut, moving the body, you know, anything that gets the body working the way God has created it to, as much as they're able, is something that's going to help settle the mind. The other, and that goes along with my next thing, and is really, 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 I'm not going to say the word no, even though I would love to, is really limit the sugar.
Yes.
Really limit the sugar, because that absolutely is like putting, you know, like a, you know, a fire flamethrower on a bonfire for someone that has, in my, you know, experience, the ADD, ADHD.
Right. And also feed bad bacteria. I mean, our family, we went through the GAPS diet. Our entire gut over a 5-year period. It was intense. So yes, we kind of live by that rule of limit the sugar and all natural sugars.
And the mental clarity. And I have something I'd be happy to, I have the hidden names of sugar. I have just a handout. So anybody that wants that, just, you know, let me know too, because there are probably, it must have like 30 or more hidden names of sugar that you don't realize, because on your label, it'll say, you know, protein, carb, sugars. But when you look at all the things listed, those are not necessarily the sugars that they count as sugar. And I mean, you probably know this, that it's in order of how much is in there. So if the first one, number one, two, or three, four ingredient is high fructose corn syrup or any of those things that are in there, the sugar and, you know, and a lot of people, I didn't know this until I, you know, really, and I've taken care of myself for years and been kind of a health nut, but until I really studied this as a health coach, how many things have sugar in them and you don't even realize.
And they're even labeled as health food, because I know oftentimes when I travel, I like to pack something that I can have a snack. So I'm not, because I don't have access to anything that's organic like I normally eat at home.
Right, and, right.
You know, trying to buy even those health foods, the first ingredients in them are sugar.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want sugar. I want fiber. I want this stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is hard to find. And that's one of those things that, you know, I'm a firm believer in breakfast. Whatever that looks like for you, it needs to be a protein and a, you know, low sugar carb. You need to fuel your brain. My kids, I always have them drink lots of water throughout the day, anything to move the body to help the brain. But I was one of those people that thought healthy was going to Starbucks and getting the bran muffin. Okay, that sounds healthy, right? Bran muffin. And then I would come home and eat a yogurt. Well, the bran muffin had sugar and carbs that turned to sugar. And then the yogurt, once I started reading labels, like all the tasty ones had maybe 20 something grams of sugar. So I would encourage you, and if they want to know what yogurt is the best, in terms of lots of protein and little sugar, I can let them know that too. I have substitutes for everything because I don't like deprivation. And right. So I find a substitute for stuff. So the last thing that with the ADD and HD is just, we do what's called a clear the clutter exercise. And clutter in a messy environment, as one of my kids that I coach, she said, it makes her mind feel messy. Mm-hmm. And it's true. And clutter is not just, oh, having them clean their room. Because really, I've gotten on Skype before and I have micromanaged my clients cleaning the room. Mm-hmm. And so they understand what that looks like. And the parents are good with that because they can't get them to do it. And mm-hmm. once it's done, but we have them put things where they want to put it.
Yes, like, otherwise it's as lost as it was when it was in the messy room because where right. did it go? And I right. can't remember what I did with it because I was in such a hurry of just trying to get this done.
Yeah, yeah. And so to helping them get organized in their life, mm-hmm. but clearing clutter stretches it beyond that. How much email is in your email box? What does their backpack look like? What does their purse look like? And we also take it a step further, is clearing clutter of relationships that are toxic.
Oh, so true. Yeah.
Because that's clutter too. That anything that hinders you from being the best version of yourself mm-hmm. in your environment or your relationships is clutter.
Yeah. Well, it's good. Our teens need to learn healthy boundaries. And I don't think we talk about that enough. And, you know, you have to be accepting and loving to everyone. Well, accepting and loving doesn't mean that I can allow that toxicity to come into my life.
Right. Right.
And it teaches them how to be a stronger them, to know who they are, to stand up for who they are and what they believe and what they want to do. So,
and that's where parents come in, is modeling boundaries. And as women, I don't think we're great at boundaries, you know, because we're nurturers and we want to help and we want to, and we're, a lot of us are empathic and we take things on ourselves and we don't know how to say no. So it's not the easiest thing for us to do to draw our own boundaries, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
So, but it is possible. So.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. We are coming close to the end. I know we have viewers. If you have questions for Renee, put them in the feed, please, because we'd love to get them answered. We're talking about teens tonight and effective ways to coach them towards independence. So if you have a teen and are going, okay, this is the issue we're dealing with, how do we move them to effectively take the ownership of this and to help them to just move towards being more independent and not just like dumping them and dumping it in their lap, because that's not coaching. That's just walking away and saying, I'm washing my hands of this.
Right.
But there's something you did bring up before, Renee, and you said, let's get back to this. And it's about letting them fail.
Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So here's a reframe. So we think failure is failing, right? It's failing something. So the reframe on that is failure is information.
Yes.
Failure is information. Like, why did that not turn out the way I had planned on it turning out? Or had I not even planned? Mm-hmm. So that's why that turned out the way it did.
Yes.
Where did I get stuck? Who could I have brought in as a resource? What do I need to do next time? They're still not judging themselves. And I had a mom tell me that her son would really beat himself up over something when he failed before I started coaching with him, and so hard on himself. And she said, now, I just heard her say this the other day. She said, now when he doesn't do as well as he had planned, he's like, okay, well, it looks like I need to do this and this a little better and just move forth instead of just really letting it tear him up and beat himself up. And then he thinks, oh, maybe I can't do this or I shouldn't do this or, you know, their self-esteem is just really attacked. And so if you just look at failure purely as information.
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm.
and let them get and let them learn, because information is learning, right?
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah, I remember doing Legos with my son when he was very young, my oldest, and they would always fall apart, you know, because he tried these elaborate things that he'd try to make. And of course, in engineeringly, structurally, they were not made enough so that they could stick together. And so they would fall apart. And he would get so upset. And the thing that I would, my mantra was, now you can know how to make it better, because it didn't work that way.
Right.
And you just have to, you have to keep repeating that. You have to keep encouraging them towards that, because we all fail. And especially as a parent, what do you do with your own failure? Do you hide it? Do you bring it out? I share it with my kids. Look how I failed this time.
Right.
So,
right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard the phrase, fail forward?
Yes.
I love that. I love that, because that's all what coaching is about, is looking at where are you at now, mm-hmm. and where do you want to go? And we are going to get you there. And not worrying about how long it's going to take or what it's going to look like, but we are going to take steps to get you there, as opposed to therapy is looking back at the past and past hurts. Mm-hmm. So coaching is very different. You know, there is some neuroscience involved in different things in coaching, obviously, but it's very different from therapy.
I love how, that you make that point, because yes, there's a place for therapy and there's a place for coaching, and we need it both in our lives. And if you don't get it professionally, you need it in your relationships, in your life, people that will speak empathetically, that will relive those experiences with you that need to be reframed again. That's right. What therapy is. It's reframing it with your current state of mind and the state of mind you were in to bring it to a better place. But the coaching is the reframing it to move you forward in what you haven't done yet and what you're prepared to do. And so we do. We need both of that. And as a parent, we're all of that to our kids. And sometimes we pick the therapist when we should be the coach. But I think we moved more towards that coaching relationship as our kids get older. I guess as we finish up, that was one of the questions I had was, you know, what can parents do to mentally transition from that caring aspect of their child to the coaching aspect? Because I think some of us hold on really tight to that, you know, caring part too much, that we don't allow them to be independent, even though we think we want them to be independent, but we're not doing it through our actions.
I think it's through the words. Mm-hmm. It's through asking questions again from a place of curiosity, and instead of and looking at, you know, I told a teen today, I said, I want to know, she's a newer client, I said, I want to know if there's anything that your parents do that really drive you crazy. And so we're going to coach through that. It's not anything disrespectful to the parent, but I want to know so she can reframe that. So it's kind of, we could flip that on its head with the parent. What is it that your son is daughter that you are so frustrated that's driving you crazy? Mm-hmm. And write it down and say, you know, procrastination or sleeps too late or walks out of the room when I'm talking, and approach them from a place of curiosity. And I use that word a lot. Like, I'm curious, you know, when we're talking and you walk out of the room, I just wonder, you know, is it something I've said, or is it, you know, and I even did this one time with my own husband, because husbands, they get, you know, and he's like, oh, he didn't even realize that he did that. He goes, I'm so sorry. I did that. And I came from a place of curiosity and love as a place to, you know, when you do this, this really bothers me.
Yeah.
And exactly. So that same approach. So look at those things in light of that, write them down. Yeah. And just as the situation presents itself, mm-hmm. say, hey, can I ask you about something? And even talking to, we didn't even get into the whole social media and being on their phone all the time. And, you know, I talked to a girl today and we're working on her not being on her phone so much. Mm-hmm. And I said, how about at the dinner table? And she said, well, I'm trying not to. I said, well, what are your parents doing? I said, well, they're on their phones.
Oh, well, that doesn't help.
Right, right. But she learns to empower herself not to be on her phone, mm-hmm. regardless of everyone else on her that's on their phone, because she knows that's good for her. She has that buy-in, and it's that's what her brain is rewired through coaching to do.
Right. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And eventually they have to stand up to other people and in other situations and right. hold to their own. And so getting that independence of this is what I value. This is how I'm going to live. And I'm just going to move forward no matter what other people around me are doing.
And listening, mm-hmm. listening, you know, we think we listen to our kids, but you know, really taking the time to really hear what they're saying, because every teen I've ever coached, they really do want to have a relationship with their parents, even though they make their parents feel like they have two heads. You know, they really, they all want that. They all want that. Just that family time and sit and listen, even though they may not act like that, they all share that with me.
Yeah. It's the time that we value the most is dinner time. And we try not to do anything. And even, you know, when my son comes home from college, my 20-year-old is still living at home and working. And that dinner time is so important for our family. And my son will even come on, you know, cleaning up the dishes and stuff and just sit at the counter and just chat with me. And I'm like, oh, these are the most wonderful times. So it's the relationship you build. And it doesn't mean that they're dependent on me, because we have a strong relationship. It just means that they have an anchor to come back to if, mm-hmm. you know, life gets crazy. And
right.
it does. They know where they can come and be loved no matter what.
And one thing, if I can add that, mm-hmm. that for parents with younger children is part of the modeling, is it's so fun when you have those years before they're driving, because you have a captive audience. Oh, you know, the greatest conversations and the wealth of information comes out in the car. Mm-hmm. Well, if you have the radio on, or your child is on an iPad, or they're on their cell phone, you have missed out on that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so once they're a teenager and they're driving themselves all over to school, that was a lost opportunity where you could start forming that habit of conversations and curiosity and listening and asking questions in the car before they're 16. And then it's a little bit of an uphill battle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. It's, you know, just even when my daughter pops in the car after youth group, so what'd you talk about tonight? And, you know, we just kind of start that conversation. Mm-hmm. Well, what did you think about that? You know, and it takes me a bit, because that's not the environment I grew up in.
Right.
My parents did not talk to me that much. Mm-hmm. And they sent mm-hmm. me to counselors mm-hmm. when I wouldn't do the things that they didn't want
right.
me to do.
Right.
So, you know, it's been a learning curve for me, but just to say, this is how we form relationship. We've got to work on, you know, like you were talking about, being curious and asking mm-hmm. questions and not feeling like I'm invading their space, because really they do want you to ask. They want mm-hmm. you to know. Mm-hmm.
And with no expectation of what the answer should be.
Exactly. Yes. So true. Yeah. So as we wrap up, do you have any closing comments for our parents? I'm sorry we didn't get any questions tonight, but this has been a wonderful conversation.
Thank you.
Definitely filled with so much wisdom.
Thank you. I just want to really encourage parents to say that the teen years do not have to be a period of angst and frustration. And again, their teens really do want to have a relationship with them. They just want to be heard. Mm-hmm. They want to talk and be heard, and they want you to be authentic and accept their authenticity. And the love will flow, and just being aware of their boundaries too, and just letting, letting them fail and letting them grow and change and make mistakes and just being there for them, yeah. you know, to help them out.
So true. Yeah. You just have to be there, and they aren't always going to do what you want them to do. They're going to fail.
And that's okay. And that's okay.
It is okay.
Yeah. Be okay with not being okay.
Exactly. So true. I love that. So Renee has her own coaching consultation business, and you can find her at reneesullinscoaching.com, and her website's up here on the screen. And if you're listening to our podcast, again, that's reneesullinscoaching.com. And we just want to thank you for your time tonight, Renee. It's been just delightful to listen to you talk, because these are lessons I definitely have learned raising three teens. Like I told you, my youngest turned 15 today. Actually, we celebrated yesterday because I was doing this, and she was at a two-hour practice for Ariel Silk. So,
oh wow, wow. Oh, so it's your younger daughter that's doing that. That's awesome. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Well, this is, I hope that this has been an encouragement to parents and given them some little golden nuggets of things to try and to do, and that, you know, and coaching may be an option for them.
Right.
And, yes. You know, and if it is, they can contact me. It's a free consultation for them. And on top of that, a free consultant, you know, because it has to be a good fit, free coaching for their teen. It has to be a good fit.
Right.
You know, and everybody has to be all in, and it has to be the right thing. So,
so true. Well, yeah, thank you so much. And so for all of you joining us, if this is the first podcast you have joined us here at Sped Homeschool, this is Sped Homeschool Conversations. We do this every Tuesday night live on Facebook, and then we rebroadcast our podcast and on YouTube starting on Sunday and the following week. But we are funded by viewers like you. So if you would like to donate to Sped Homeschool, you can go to our website, spedhomeschool.com, and make a donation to help our nonprofit. And it is a tax-deductible donation. But we also keep the conversation going all week long in our support group on Facebook. And you can join that group by coming to our Facebook page and finding the support group. And, we're talking every day about lots of different subjects, all related to special education and homeschooling. So I can't even tell you, I think there were four or five different conversations that started in the last 2 days. So lots going on, definitely. Then there's almost 2,000 families in there. So you can imagine there's lots of great stuff going on. But next week, I have Dr. Daniel Franklin. He wrote this book called Helping Your Child with Language-Based Learning Disabilities. As next month, all of our interviews, all of our new content is going to be around reading and language. Mm. And because we get so many questions from parents on how do I help with this situation or that situation my student is struggling. So we're going to kick off that month with Daniel Franklin and talk about his new book and just what you can do as a parent. He's very much into helping parents because he himself was a struggling reader and has dyslexia, and he wants to help parents to understand what it's like to be their child and then to come alongside them and help them. So thanks so much for joining us, everybody, here on Sped Homeschool Conversations, and we will see you again next week. Bye, everyone.